2 Corinthians 4:7, one verse. You know what it says? It says this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Did you get a bulletin this morning? Did you get one? Did you notice there's some typing errors or some spelling mistakes in it? Did you notice? We just wanted to keep your little minds busy doing something. Next Sunday, we're passing out coloring books and crayons. Some of us read things quickly, you know, and we don't notice spelling errors. And even if we see them, we don't care. Just go on reading, right? Others of us, myself included, will see a typo and a mistake and just be driven to distraction, you know. Ah, a typo. I don't know what type you are, but did you find all 12 of the spelling errors yet? Well, I'll tell you, on the front of the bulletin, there are 4 of them, and I'm going to point them out to you right now. Later on in the message, I'm going to point out to you the other ones, okay? But the front page, did you find, under the Fireproof the movie, the word Baptist? Did you get that one? It's a P, not a B. How do you spell cookies? With an I, not 2 E's, okay? Did you find those? Don't cheat now, okay? How about under Bibles for Inmates, right under the word inmates, there's the word versions. Oh, that's not how you spell versions. And under Youth Fundraiser, there ain't no Z in fundraiser, right? Did you get those? All right, I'll point out the others in just a little bit. I remember reading a long time ago with this lady who was talking about her uncle. And he was just a good old boy. He was a farmer. But in his church, he was asked to bring the message one Sunday because the pastor was going to be gone. And this old boy, he didn't feel qualified to do it, but he was willing. And so he got up, and the first thing he said was, "Now I want y'all to everybody take out a piece of paper and get a pen or pencil. And while I preach, I want you to write down every mistake I make or every grammatical error. And at the end of the message, the person who's wrote down the most mistakes gets to preach next Sunday." I bet they laughed too. And they probably put the pens and papers away and said, just ignore the mistakes, and they enjoyed the message. Don't you think? I bet that's what happened. If you have never made a mistake or an error, a blunder or a boo-boo, or if you've never really gotten things dead wrong, would you please raise your hand? No. Can't even get it off your lap, can you? Because all of us have erred at one time or another. Do you think that you have ever gone through one single day without making a mistake? Maybe, but it's not likely, is it? We probably make mistakes every day. I think so often to myself, I do something, I say something, and I say to myself, "You dummy." Quickly recognize that was a mistake. Do it all the time, don't you? And if we are honest with ourselves, we realize that we are masters of mistakes. Some of us have perfected the art of making mistakes because we have so much practice doing it, right? Amen. A guy in our church in Danville was talking about his wife. He was married to a very strong-willed woman. Let's put it that way, okay? And he was talking to us one time, and he said, "You know, the woman has never been wrong." He said it rolling his eyes, of course. And we all knew what, and we knew her. And we knew what he meant. She acted as if she'd never made a mistake, acted as if she was never in the wrong, but we all knew. She was, just like the rest of us, all the time. Page 2. The second page. There's three errors on this page. Under the mission trip to Tanzania, on the first line, how do you spell nation? Only one A. The second one's an O. Some of you are getting a spelling lesson here today, aren't you? And they're going on a two-week, it might be a week mission trip, but it ought to be two E's, right? And what are we eating on Wednesday night? We're having a lot of good stuff and then rolls. How do you spell rolls? Two L's, please, for that kind of rolls. Okay, that's three on that page. Did you get them? Hang on, we'll go back to the others here in just a little while. You see, making mistakes is in our DNA. Think about the first man and the first woman, okay? Adam and Eve, we're told about in the Bible. Oh man, that's a true story. It sure is. Now, God makes them a world. What kind of world did God make for them, huh? Perfect world. Absolutely good. Everything in that world was absolutely safe. They could go anywhere, do anything they want to. He said, here, it's yours. Y'all have the run of the place. You know what God did for them? He made a world that was baby-proof. They couldn't make a mistake anywhere in the world because they were completely in control. It was all good, except God did what? He made one thing. One thing in the whole wide world. He said, this tree here, it's off limits. Don't touch it. If you touch it, it'll be a big mistake. If you touch it, you're in big trouble. You got the whole world now. Don't make the mistake of touching this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, you know the story. What did they do? A whole world where they couldn't make a mistake. Only one thing where they could make a mistake. And they made the mistake. She ate, he ate. Now, if you think that this is a story about two people who lived a long time ago, you're sadly mistaken. This is a story about you and me. Because if we were in the same situation, and actually we're in the same situation every day, if we have the opportunity to make a mistake, we will make a mistake. This is completely, totally accurate, true description of you and me. We make big mistakes, we make little mistakes. It is in our DNA. The Bible is brutally honest about his children making mistakes, isn't it? As you go along and read in the Bible, it doesn't gloss over people's errors and their blunders. And it doesn't edit them out, whether it's talking about Abraham or Isaac, Jacob, or it's talking about Moses and the mistakes he made, or David, the Israelite people, time and time again. The kings, the prophets, the disciples of Jesus, the followers in the early church. It is so brutally honest and said, you know, this is how they made their mistakes. So, you know, if we know that and see that, that all of them did make mistakes, why would you and I have a hard time admitting our own mistakes? It ought to be very, very easy. You read the New Testament and you know that the Apostle Paul was a really strong guy. He was a confident fella. He knew what he was doing and he knew what he was about. But in several different places, time and again, he was saying, you know, I'm really weak and I have these weaknesses. And you know, I make these mistakes and these blunders. And he admitted his faults, his shortcomings and his weaknesses. And 2 Corinthians 4:7 that we read this morning a while ago, he said, we have this treasure, that is the good news of God's love, that's the treasure he was talking about. We have this treasure in what? Jars of clay. King James says in earthen vessels. That's the old-fashioned way of saying exactly that, jars of clay. And we have it in our weaknesses for a reason. It shows quite clearly that we ain't it, that God is it, that we aren't great. God is great. That we don't have a lot of power. God has the power. He says we are not fancy, silver, polished cups. We are not super pure gold goblets, pretty and untarnished. He said we're like jars of clay. They use jars of clay every day. They use them for cooking. They use them for eating. They use them for carrying their liquids and everything like that. Everybody knew what jars of clay were like. And jars of clay, they chip. And they're flawed. And they don't last very long. They fall apart. And they crack. And they end up with a bunch of cracked pots. So this was Paul's way of saying we are all a bunch of crackpots. If you are a crackpot, would you please raise your hand? I ought to see every hand up in this house, I declare. I caught the choir. They weren't raising their hands, were they? I knew we had crackpots here. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, one time in his letter he said, I'm the chief of all sinners. I'm not just pointing everybody else's sins out. I am the chief of all sinners. He said, I'm the chief crackpot. That's what he said. Paul is brutally honest about his mistakes. Speaking of mistakes, what's on page 3? Page 3, there are 3 typographical errors, mistakes. Right at the very top, prayer. E before R. Okay, good. That's not the old English way of spelling prayer. What's down next? Happy, very happy. Got 3 P's in it, it's so happy, birthday. Okay, and right under that, youth group. There might be a lot of grouping going on in the youth group, but it's got a U in it, not a 2 O's, okay? Got what? The date is wrong? There might be other errors. Last Sunday, January 18th, that was a report for that, okay? Got a comma after what? Some of you are better than you ought to be. Now be quiet, I'm preaching here. No, I'm kidding. Love to hear from you after the service, right? Let me ask you, is there anything that human beings do that is not susceptible to mistakes and errors? From poorly designed and engineered bridges, you know, there are flaws, to the structure of our financial systems, to bugs in computer programs when they send them out, right? We aren't surprised that things don't function the way that we planned or intended because humans make mistakes. And you're human, aren't you? Of course, some people will use that statement to excuse their mistakes. And they say, well, I'm only human. Well, la-di-da, nothing could be truer. But does that relieve you of the responsibility for what you've done? No, it doesn't. But it does explain a lot of things about why so many things are wrong. We make mistakes. Now, I know some people will say the Bible is infallible, that every absolute fact and word and everything in it is absolutely true. And they apply this word infallible to the Bible. There are 0 errors of facts or statements in the Holy Scriptures. Every word is perfect, some people say. Well, I had a very wise seminary teacher who said the Bible was written by God, but it has human fingerprints all over it. And when you study the Bible, you see that that is really true. He was so right. There are a few insignificant errors of fact in the Bible. Does that negate the message that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, and takes our sins away and all the important things God was telling us? No, it doesn't. If we found out that Luke made a mistake and Quirinius wasn't the governor of Syria at the time Jesus was born, but just a little bit afterward, would that matter? That doesn't bother me a bit. And I could keep you here all day telling you how accurate the Bible is and how true it is and the facts are right and things are as the Bible states. But here and there are a few insignificant little errors because it has, who wrote it? God, but he used human beings. And therefore, we're not surprised and we're not bothered. We don't care about it being infallible and every word perfect. Other traditions have that kind of concern about their word. What we're concerned is about the word of God in Jesus Christ. We're concerned about the authority of the Bible. We're concerned about living the Bible. We're not concerned about arguing a bunch of things like the Bible is infallible or it's not. The devil wants us to be tied up with stuff like that and not be busy living for Jesus. The Bible's very clear in saying that we are the masters of mistakes. And I believe the Bible. Don't you? It's so true. What are we supposed to do with this knowledge about our failures and our faults? Well, for one thing, First off, we just ought to admit it. Be honest about our mistakes. Actually, that is the first step to eternal life. And if you can't take that step, you admit that you're a sinner, you won't find what God wants you to find. If you want to define sin as making mistakes from the ways that God wants you to go, that's a very useful definition. God can't fix you until you admit that you're the master of mistakes. You remember that story that Jesus told us about the Pharisee and the publican, which is a tax collector? They were both praying in the temple. Remember that story Jesus told? The Pharisee did what? The Pharisee stood up there and he prayed with his hands held high and he was really, really proud and he said, God, I thank you for making me to be such a good man, and I am a good man. And he rattled off his accomplishments. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that tax collector over there. And then Jesus went on to describe the tax collector who was praying in the temple, and he said, that man didn't even look up. That man just beat his chest. And that man, all he could say was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus compares one and the other, and he says, you know, folks, the tax collector got it right. The Pharisee was blind to his mistakes and his sins and his error and his arrogance and his pride. I mean, he had a lot of his sins. This guy had sins over here too, but this guy knew it. This guy admitted it. This guy was getting it going where I want him to go. Hey, what's the first step in AA? Alcoholics Anonymous. The 12-step program, what's the first step? You know it. Admit that you are an alcoholic. Admit that you have an alcoholic problem. Admit that you are addicted to alcohol. Don't even bother with the other 11 steps if you don't take that step. It's very important and crucial. If you're going to be a mature Christian, you can't skip that step. You start there and admit your mistakes and say, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And it starts from there, and God redeems us from there and builds us up. And mature Christians have no problem saying, oops, my bad. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And we can say it every day because we're the masters of mistakes. Admitting it proves that God is great. That's what 2 Corinthians 4:7 says. Not you, God. So we need to admit it. We need to come to terms with it in our spiritual journey. Many of you beat yourselves up over your mistakes. You just keep rehashing them. You keep living them. You keep hanging on to them. You said, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You waste a lot of time and energy mulling over your mistakes in the past or what you just did. And you beat yourself up a whole lot more than other people who have forgiven you and forgotten about it and gone on. But you're still beating yourself up. What a waste of time. Who needs to play that game? If you try to pretend that you don't make mistakes, that's a big game. And everybody else knows that it's a game because they know that you make mistakes. So nobody is fooling anybody else. If we don't admit our mistakes to one another, that makes us uncomfortable. That makes the other person uncomfortable with us because we're not admitting our mistakes. But if we relax and admit our mistakes, then they're comfortable with us and then we can relate to one another. It's a great thing. It's a helpful thing to deal with it in your spiritual journey. Mistakes are part of the scene. And you're a part of a church that loves you despite your mistakes. Ain't that great? That's wonderful. And then the most important thing is simply this. The most important thing we do with this knowledge about our mistakes is to cut each other a lot of slack. That's what the earlier Romans passage in 14 was talking about. Cut each other a lot of slack because we're all weak and we're all have these beliefs and that belief. So, but we forbear with one another. We love one another. We tolerate one another. And somewhere else Paul said, be gentle, forbearing, forgiving one another. That's where this knowledge should lead us the most. Cut each other a lot of slack. Page 4. Two typos. What are they? Well, in the message title, right? Mistakes is spelled wrong, and down at the bottom, minister to youth and children. The child ran a lot, but it's not an A, it's an E. I have a question. How many of you honestly got all 12 mistakes and found them? All 12. You did? Hey, some of the kids did over here. Who else did? Well, raise your hand. I want to see it here. Okay. Anybody in the choir? The choir is dumb as a post. They can't get all this stuff. I'm just kidding. All right. Joanne Hall, did you get all 12?
Well,
no, just say yes or no, honey. Great. You know what your prize is for getting all 12? You get to preach next Sunday. Let's hear it for Joanne Hall, okay? if you pay me, I'll preach next Sunday, okay? Hey, gosh, we sure can laugh about our mistakes. Boy, that feels good. Well, you know, have you taken that first step? Have you said, yeah, Lord, I am a sinner. Boy, I have made mistakes. I've got it wrong. Phrase it any way you like, but boy, take that mistake and join with a bunch of people who have made mistakes and are still making mistakes, and we'll fumble and bumble together as the kingdom of God. This invitation is not to, I am pure, I am holy, I am good, now I got my act together, and I'll come on and be part of God's people. Forget that. It'll never happen. Just come. Mistakes and all. God loves you. We do too.